Today, we begin a series on the parables. And Jesus saw this as a great way to communicate what he wanted to say to people through simple stories. He would use this simple way of taking something here on this earth that we understand, applying that to how to follow God. And it made it easier for us to understand. Unfortunately, not everyone understands these earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. He used these parables both to conceal and to reveal the truth. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But storytelling was very popular in Jesus' time. The rabbis would use this as an opportunity to teach what they wanted to teach those who were following them. And his stories were memorable, but not always transparent. In other words, people heard them, but it didn't mean they understood them. So I'm going to have you turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to begin there today. Matthew chapter 13, the disciples asked him in verse 10, you don't have to look here, we're going to begin in verse 1. But in verse 10, the disciples asked him, why do you speak to the people in parables? And in verse 11, Jesus said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So there are times where certain people understood it and others didn't. And one of the parables that we're going to look at today, the only one we're going to look at today as we begin this series, is the parable of the sower. And we're going to learn why people, some of us walk away totally understanding what God is saying to us through a story. Some of us, we kind of get it. We might even walk out very excited, feeling like we've got this and we're on fire, and then only to lose it later on. And some of us, we get it. We totally get it. Some of us, we walk out going, huh? So really, the parable sorted out those who came simply to see miracles and be entertained, or the serious followers who really wanted to understand Jesus' teaching. I find it interesting that one third of Jesus' words in the Bible are in parable form. So if you have a Bible that has the red letters every time Jesus would speak, one third of those red letters are in parable form. So he saw this as a simple way of teaching. Now, I kind of picture this like a gift, a wrapped gift that we get. My mom is really good at wrapping gifts, and she always has every gift perfectly wrapped with the bow tied on. You hate to even mess it up when you get it because you think it's so nice. But like that, these parables, the packaging of the story can either distract or even captivate you, but unless it's opened, the gift remains unseen. Until you truly dive in to what the parable is saying, you won't be able to understand it. That's the mystery involved in the parables. But when you do get it, you get it. When you do get it, you get it. That's the testimony of all of us in this room who have understood what Jesus was saying to us, and we knew what it meant to receive salvation. And we get it. So if you're taking notes today, as I said, our text is going to be Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. I believe these other scriptures are on the back of the bulletin. If you have that, you wouldn't have to write these down. But we're going to read that. We also are going to refer to chapter 13, verses 18 through 24. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 is where he's telling the story to the crowd. But in verses 18 through 24, he's explaining the story to his disciples. He's giving them the lowdown of really what he was talking about in this parable. Now, if you are going to study this week, I want to give you every opportunity to understand it. So Luke chapter 8 also has this story. Mark chapter 4 as well. So you have three different stories told the same. It's the same story, but told in different ways by three different people. So if you're studying this, those are the places you can look. So once more, before we start reading, I want to give you the breakdown of what we're about to read. In this story, Jesus is going to talk about the farmer. Jesus is the farmer. He's referring to himself. We can also sometimes be the farmer. Today, I'm not Jesus. I'm going to be like Jesus, and I am going to sow the seed. What happens from there, we'll find out. It depends on our hearts today. I honestly picked I surrender today in order to prepare us for this. I wanted us to have this idea of surrendering our hearts and our lives to God. We want to know you more. We want more of you. So we're surrendering our life to you. That's why I wanted to sing that this morning. But Jesus is the farmer. The seed that he is sowing is salvation. It can also be the word of God. The bird in the story is Satan. Just say the bird is bad. The bird is bad. Remember that and you'll be fine. The soil is us. And what we have to understand is the softer the soil, the easier it is to receive the seed. It's simple farming. I'm not a farmer, but I understand it. So let's begin reading Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the words that you give us in your Bible. God, we thank you for what we can learn from it. God, that we can take it, plant it in our heart, and begin to watch it grow. And I pray that we would do that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give you five things as we break down these nine scriptures, five things that we can find in these scriptures. The first is the mission. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 is the mission. It says, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. He went from a private home to a public place. But then it says, he tells a story of a farmer who went out to sow a seed. Okay? The farmer can't sow the seed from inside. Nor could Jesus reach people from inside. He had to go out into the public place. So the farmer went out to sow the seed. The mission we're talking about is salvation. He was going out to spread the gospel. He was going out to tell them the word of God. That's the mission. And if we don't save people, they're headed for destruction. Therefore, it's up to us to sometimes be that person, the farmer, going out to sow the seed, leaving this place to go out and sow the seed. That's the mission. Number two, the placement of the seed. Look at verse 4 of what we just read. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. Now, as a farmer, you want to produce the best crop that you possibly can. So you're going to be very generous in sowing the seed. Long before combines and all of that, they would walk along the field sowing the seed. And they were very generous, hoping to get much to catch, to grow, to germinate, and to get a good crop. So they threw it everywhere. So some of it would land on the path. But as we understand the path, well, the path is hard. It's trampled on all the time. It's dry. It doesn't get watered. So therefore, it's hard. Therefore, it cannot receive the seed. So what happens? The birds come along and it becomes bird feed is really what it is. Now, listen to verse 18 as Jesus begins to explain this story. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes, snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. I'm no farmer, but I understand this. The harder our hearts, the harder it is to receive the seed. For people who are the path, it is saying they are hardened in their heart. They will never receive the seed until it is broken. Until that ground or their heart is broken, it is impossible for them to receive. Now, I can think of people like this, and I'm sure you can too. I was thinking about this as I was putting it together. of different people in my life that I've shared the gospel with, and they didn't want to hear. They had no desire to hear what I said about God. Well, I don't even believe in that. And trying to help them in a time of crisis, trying to help them in a time of need to know that God can be there for them, but they didn't want to hear it. And as you begin to watch their life spiral down, bad decision after bad decision, and it's until they hit rock bottom and there's a brokenness. And it's interesting to watch as they will come back with a tenderness that wasn't there before, a humility that wasn't there before. It was until they were broken that they were able to receive what you had to say to them. I think many of us know what that's like. So where the seed is sown makes a big difference. The placement of the seed. But if it's along the path, just know it's impossible for it to receive the seed. Number three, the reception of the seed. Look at verses 5 and 6. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. So there was some soil. There was enough there to receive the seed. Unfortunately, there was no depth. There was nowhere for the roots to go. So it sprang up quickly. So it even looked good in the moment. It's like, hey, that's coming up really nice. Because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plant was scorched. And it withered away because it had no root. Now, this is a different kind of person or a different kind of heart than the path. The path was too hard to receive it. But now we're talking about rocky soil. So it's able to receive the seed. And it might even like what it's receiving. And it's saying, yes, this is for me. I like it. There may be joy involved. They may be very happy about it. They may walk out of here saying, I'm saved. I'm on fire. And they're going out to tell everybody in the world about it. But unfortunately, there's no depth. So after something, maybe a bad crisis in their life, maybe something happens, and all of a sudden, they've lost that excitement. They've lost what they had, and it's been taken away. And at the time that Jesus was telling this parable, these farmers, they didn't have barbed wire fences to divide their properties. So they used rocks. That's what would divide. As they were walking through their field, if they found rocks, they would throw them along the edge of their property to divide it from the other person. So that's how they knew where their property ended. And when they were sowing the seed, they would be walking along the edge, sowing the seed, so some of it would land in the rocky places. And there was just enough seed for it, soil for it to grow, but it just didn't have any depth. Look at what Luke 8:13 says. It's going to be up on the screen. It's the same story, Luke's version. He says, those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. Once again, we can think of people like this. We've seen them as they come to Christ and the excitement's there, but after a while, it tends to fall away. So what are we learning here? This is simple. There are different degrees of a heart's preparation to receive what God has to say, just as there are different degrees of soil's preparation to receive the seed. For instance, if you're a farmer and you farm the same land every year, that soil is in way better shape. It's ready to receive the seed way better than if you take a field that has never been anything but pasture and you decide, I'm going to plow that up and I'm going to plant something. The soil is not as good. It's not as prepared as the other soil. So the reception of the word reveals the condition of our hearts. You say that again. The reception of the word reveals the condition of our hearts. Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus is explaining this now to the disciples in verses 20 and 21, he says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. So number four is the longevity. Some soil can receive the seed, but how long will it last? Why? Because these seeds fall among thorns. which grow up around the plant and choke it out. The longevity is important because we have to know about the weeds and the thorns that grow up around the seed. Some translations say weeds, some say thorns. I like weeds because I can relate to weeds. How many of you in here can look out in your yard and relate to weeds? You know what I'm talking about. If I could make money selling weeds, I would be a millionaire. I can grow weeds better than anything. I don't even have to try. They just grow. If you really want to come look, I can prove it to you. I can show you where they grow in my gutters. It's that good. I'm that good at growing weeds that they can sprout up in my gutters even. But how many of you go? Any gardeners in here? Yeah? Gardeners? Okay, there's a few. How many of you go to Lowe's and say, I want the best dandelions you have? I want the best weeds you can give me. I want to plant those babies. No. You don't have to ask for them. They're coming whether you like it or not. They grow the fastest. They are the first to come up. They're the tallest. They multiply the best. Yet they take the most water. So they're hurting your flowers or your vegetables. They rob the flowers and vegetables of nutrients and vitamins needed to grow. So now that we understand the weeds, let's figure out what they are in this parable. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Check this out. It says, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by what? Life's worries, riches, and pleasures. If you're taking notes, write that down. Life's worries, riches, and pleasures are the things that can choke you out. And then what does it say? They do not mature. Think of all the scenarios we've heard so far. Many of us can relate to this one. We leave this place accepting what Jesus has for us, having it in our hearts. But as we go through life, things begin to grow up around it, distract us, and take our focus off of God. The weeds. We can get caught up in the weeds. And Jesus is saying the cares and worries of and demands of my own life, of Chad Main's life, living in the beautiful town of Chillicothe, Missouri. Just, I love our town. It's a great town. I love my life. But still yet, there's things that can come in when I don't realize it very subtly, just begin to grow up around and begin to choke the Word of God right out of me. See, the beauty in this parable, the simplicity in this parable, is the weeds in my life are probably not the weeds in your life. But you can still relate. You know what they are. And when those weeks are happening that you're noticing, hey man, the weeds are starting to really pile up here, you can say, man, I remember Jesus talking about it. Let me tell you a little bit about my week. This is in no way, you know, I'm going to stand up here and just complain about my life. I'm just going to tell you a few things that happened this week that could have easily distracted me from the things of God. I got a voicemail around 5 or 5:30 Tuesday afternoon. I'd just gotten home from work. Courtney and I are having a conversation in the kitchen while she's fixing dinner. And I realized I'd missed a call from my mom. So 2 or 3 minutes later, I take time to call her back. She doesn't answer. So I check the voicemail. And on the voicemail, I realize she hadn't tried to call me. It was by accident. And I hear a officer step up to her car and say, I'm Officer So-and-so. Are you okay? That is the voicemail I get. So obviously, I try to call her again. No answer. I try my brother. He lives in Springfield where they live. So I'm like, got to get somebody going on this. So I tell him, I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but I hear this voicemail. Here's what it is. I call my dad. He's showing up at the accident right as I'm talking to him. And so I got a hold of him, found out she is okay. That's about all I got. Had to hang up and just wait in here. So I'll tell you the rest. She passed out while driving and rear-ended somebody. So if that's not scary enough, wound up in the hospital. Sorry, Mom. She's probably listening today. I told your story. Sorry about that. But I tell you that to say, obviously that became a distraction in my life because I'm wanting to know how she's doing. What caused this? So I'm beginning to think about that. In the midst of all that, this past week, we have a rental house in Bolivar where we used to live, and our renters are moving out. So I'm in the process of trying to get that cleaned up and ready for the new renters. And I'm thinking I got to go down there. So I went down there this weekend. I'm dealing with that. On top of that, I've got a daughter named Tessa. Tessa is in what she would call a phase. She even says that. I'm in a phase. And this phase is her not sleeping in her own bed. She wants to be in our room. And it's me against a six-year-old, and how many of you know I'm not going to lose that battle? I'm winning. I haven't won the battle yet, but I am winning. I can tell you that. I'm not going to give up until I do win, but we have this battle going every night. I'm finding all kinds of ways to get her to sleep in her bed, at least start there. And as she does, she'll fall asleep, but somehow in the night, I don't know how, Courtney and I sleep right next to each other, and somehow, without waking either one of us up, she can crawl into our bed and plant herself right between us. I don't know how. And I don't know how much she weighs, 40, 50 pounds? I don't know. I'm 55 pounds. She is an oven. I mean, I wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning just drenched in sweat. Why am I so hot? And I realize she's laying next to me, and it's just so hot. Anybody know what I'm talking about that has kids? You know. The amount of heat that can come off a little girl is crazy. So I'm awake at that point, so I get up, carry her back to bed. Anytime you get up in the middle of the night, what do you have to do? You have to go to the bathroom. So I get that done, go back to bed, and by this time, I'm laying there wide awake. So I've lost a lot of sleep over the last few weeks in this battle with Tessa that I will win. I'm winning. I'm getting her back. I will not let her stay in our bed. That is not going to happen. But until we're there, I'll let you know if I win. I'll give you the results later. But all of these things are going on this week. Those are things that are just simple things. They're nothing too major. I mean, my mom's thing was pretty major, but nothing too crazy. But those things can begin to distract you. You know what your weeds are. Those are just a few of mine this week. We all have them. And you have to be careful. Jesus warns us, and he says, if the weeds choke it out, then the plant dies. So what do I do when I have a crazy week and I recognize the weeds? I want, if you don't have a Bible, at least write this down. You probably are going to know this scripture. You can't get any better than this scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 20. I'm going to read verses 6 through 13. And I'm telling you what, I can have revival right here just reading this scripture. It's that good. Okay? So let's begin reading and see what it says to us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 20. I'm going to read verses 6 through 13 just for time. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That right there, that one sentence, is what we talked about last week in the humility that we should have. Such a humility that we're robed in it, that we're clothed in it, that other people see it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Are you hearing this? This is good stuff. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here it comes. The peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, well beyond what we can go with here, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's how you avoid the weeds. When they're coming, you just go to this scripture and you say, Jesus, I need you right now. I'm thankful for what I have. You're thankful. You're with thanksgiving. You're presenting your request to God. But God, I need you right now. I need you to get me through this. And the peace that transcends all understanding will guard your heart. It will build a wall around your heart and around your mind. A better wall than Donald Trump will ever be able to build. Can I tell you that? Will be built around your heart and around your mind when you turn to God. A peace which transcends all understanding. Look at verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. How easy is it when we're in the weeds to think about the weeds? To be focused on the things that are coming against us and to get wrapped up in the weeds. And all it's doing is it's beginning to choke us. And if we'll just focus on these things, the pure, the noble, the right, the lovely, the admirable things. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. There's that promise again. Verse 10, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. This is Paul talking. He's got a conversation going on, but I don't want you to miss this. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. But here's what he says. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. It's hard to sing and preach. I'm sorry. I'm going to crack every once in a while. Get over it. But I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret, church. It's the secret of being content in any and every situation. The weeds are coming. Let me just tell you, you can't avoid them. They're going to grow in your yard. I don't care how much weed nonsense you put down to try to kill them off. They're coming. You can pay the greatest guy in town to come in and spray your yard. The weeds are coming. Okay? So you can prepare yourself all you want, but the weeds are coming. What are you going to do with it in the moment? Learn the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Why? Because of verse 13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Can you say amen to that? That's good stuff. I could be done right there and we just go home. Number 5, the good soil. Now we get to the good part. We've heard all about the bad soil. Now we get to the good part, the produce. Verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 13. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop. Try not to get caught up in this part. It says 160 or 30 times what was sown. You know, many times we can get caught up in somebody else who's sowing 100 and we're only sowing 30. Well, how do they do that? Why can't I be like them? Why did God let them produce so much more? Church, just produce. Just do what God's called you to do. And don't focus on everybody else. And as you do that, you will begin to see that seed germinate inside your heart and begin to produce. And you'll do your part. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Whoever has ears, let them hear. As we were learning in the beginning, we are the soil. And that's the important part of this story. If you catch anything else, catch the understanding that we are the soil. We have to hear the word of God first. Then we have to accept it into our hearts, but then we have to live it out. That's when it begins to produce. And if you don't catch anything else, hear this. What happens if you're not bearing the fruit? We have a high level of theory with a low level of experience. Say that again. We have a high level of theory with a low level of experience. Let me tell you like this. You can go to business school. You can even get a business degree and never have learned from somebody who owns a business. Think about that. Never having the experience of the pressures of owning a business. You can know all about owning a business, but you've not experienced it. So therefore, your system of learning is based on principle, upon concepts, and things that have been repeated. So even what you're hearing, it sounds good. You've probably heard this before. And you're saying, yeah, this sounds really good, man. I'm going to walk away different today. This sounds good. But until you've truly had the experience, there's no depth. May you know what it's like to experience that seed being planted in your heart and beginning to produce the fruit within you. Based on what we've read today, this scripture that we've read, it's clear that some coming here every week We worship God, we hear the word of God, but nothing changes. There's no transformation taking place. Because the seed was either landing on the path, or there was no depth, or the weeds began to choke it out. But others make decisions, and every week they come in different. They come in transformed, changed, ready to hear a new word, ready to hear new instruction on what's going to help them, on what's going to take them throughout the week, on what's going to help them with the weeds. And they're doing what's needed to turn that soil over, to continue using it to grow the seeds. Church, I've done my part today. I've explained the story. Exactly what Jesus would do. He would tell the story. The rest is up to you. And the question I ask you, one question that I leave you with today is, where's your heart? So let's bow our heads. Lord, this part is between you and the person sitting here today. To know if they're accepting the seed. God, there may be some here today that don't want to hear this at all. They're part of the path. Or maybe they've lived that for a long time and they're ready to not be the path, and they need to be broken to be able to receive the seed. Lord, some of us in here may be living a shallow Christian life. It sounds good on Sundays. We walk out encouraged, on fire for God. But by Wednesday, we've lost it. We're no different. Some of us, God, we may be living in the weeds. We're growing, but the weeds begin to just take over and choke us. Lord, you know who they are. So as we check our hearts today, I'm going to ask this one simple question. If you want prayer to say, Chad, I want that last. Thank God, I just want God to be in my heart. I want to not only receive what you're saying today, but I want to live it. I want to begin to produce what you're talking about. Produce what God has planted within me. And if that's you, I'm just asking you, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to be done. Anybody in this room? Okay. Wow. All over. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay, anybody else? Can we stand to our feet? Let's repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, here am I. I'm offering my heart to you. I'm opening my heart to you. To receive what you are saying to me today. Thank you for accepting me. No matter my past, no matter what I've done, it's wiped away in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. And I receive you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we leave this place, if you're one of those that raise your hand, you would just like to talk about it. You'd like more prayer, I invite you to come forward. I want us to leave this place rejoicing. Just give God a hand for those who did receive today. Hallelujah. God is good, amen. Come on, God is good. Amen, amen. You guys have a great week. Like I said, I'll be standing up here, be dismissed. But if you raised your hand, I'd love to pray with you, talk to you today.